you join us at a moment where Ben is insisting that double glazing is activated.
Not activated.
By pulling a lever that locks the window, that suddenly makes the properties of the two panes of window kick in.
The window was not fully shut.
He complained a little bit.
So the handle was up.
It's a bit cold.
And I'm freezing. I'm having to wear like a shawl.
He's wearing a nice blankie. I've got him a blankie from my room.
Just to confirm,
and he's still whinging.
I want our listeners to confirm this. The handle was up, so I closed the window, which sealed it, which is going to keep the heat in.
Yeah, no, we're bickering more on this podcast. You can see the edges are starting to fray.
It's starting to crack, isn't it?
A few more episodes and we're like, welcome to that fucking only podcast. I've been watching Preacher, what do you...
Shut up, Holly!
All right.
Shut up! Now this is my turn!
Fuck off.
Oh, fuck you, you bastard.
Yeah, do you like Preacher? I hate Preacher
now.
I hate it. Yeah, well, I love
it.
Fuck off.
Without looking
it's my favourite show. You stupid... Oh, Ben.
That's what happens when you work with people creatively.
You've had a rough day.
Yeah, I have had a rough day. I've had a really rough day. I got a new job.
He needs cheering up.
I got a new job at the House of Lords.
Hmm.
Got the new job. And they
Did
were going,
you?
Yeah, going through my references. And today they phone up saying, no, you haven't got the job because one of your references said you're an actor. And actors do not commit.
Well, that's what I found, to be fair. They're very non-committal people.
Bastards. So, yeah, I've got no job now.
So what you've worked out is that while you may be good on paper, when people who actually know you talk about you, you don't amount to much.
No.
So you need a bit more... You need to, you know, we need to make it a nice, upbeat experience for you. We'll talk about some nice shows.
Yeah, because this happened today.
And that'll cheer you up.
I'll be fine, yes.
We'll eat some Papa John's pizza.
Oh, a lovely Papa John's.
Mmm. That's on the way. And, you know, we'll have a ruddy good time. So I won't tell you how... I won't ask how you've been, because we know...
I've been great. Up until today, been amazing. I've been going, start a new job soon. I'm playing XCOM 2.
Mm, more of that to
great.
Come.
Oh, yeah.
Teaser for later.
What shows are we talking about?
We got about...
How are you first?
We've got about...
How are you?
Oh, I thought you'd never
How
ask.
Are you, mate?
I have been just perfect. I love having a job.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of fun to be employed.
Yeah.
And, been doing that all day, every day, and it's been lovely.
Today...
It's been very frustrating.
Today you've been sat around...
I know, I have.
...lazing about your house at work...
Yeah, but I've been working, stressed.
Yeah, but I've done that.
Getting calls every 2 seconds from nurses. I can't work tonight, I feel a bit sick. Fuck off.
Well, you're sat in bed.
I'm not excuse me, do not tarnish my reputation as nursing services facilitator for one of the top charities. Charities, mind. Didn't you mention that? I don't know. Drop the C-bomb there.
Charities.
Yeah,
I'm a
nice guy.
When Ollie ordered the Papa John's pizza, he also had to express that he gives quite a lot of money.
Well, because they ask...
To save the children.
They ask, do you want to round up to, you know, a nice round number and give it... And I give to save the children. And amnesty I also give to... I'm a very great human.
I don't like children, and I don't want children... Why should I have to pay for other people's mistakes?
We'll just leave that there.
No, I'm joking, of course. I would give to all the charities if I could. But I don't have a job. So, you know, I can't. Save Ben, that's what you want to be given to.
Yeah, let's start a
charity. Save Ben, and it'll be like we'll have a black and white... advert, and I'll just be there looking sad.
This out-of-work actor desperately wants to make stop motions instead of going to work.
And then I'll hold up my
E45. You can make this a reality. With just £120 a month, you can feed his marijuana, Papa John's, and Xbox addictions.
Hey, PlayStation 4.
Hey, I'm
Come
sorry.
On, I already feel bad about myself. Let's not give me more truths to... to worry about.
We've got about a million shows to talk about.
So many shows.
I had to watch about...
They're all back now.
I had to watch how many hours of television? Let's work this out. About 24 minutes plus... About 30 hours.
Yeah, but you didn't have to. I said, like, watch American Horror Story Season 2.
And 5, you said, didn't you?
Yeah, but I made that up kind of thing like when you texted me, I thought, no, you should watch both of them because I knew you'd like them, and you did. You loved them.
Well, let's not spoil. I'm keeping my cards close to my chest.
People are going
to
be like, right, I know now.
Yeah, they'll turn off.
That's enough. That's all I want to know. Did Ollie like American Horror Story?
I had to also watch Baskets with Zach Galifianakis. Yes.
Yeah.
And great pronunciation. I just like to point that out. Zach Galifianakis.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Probably not.
It's Galifianakis.
But I feel it's more skill to say it the way I've said it. It may not be correct,
right,
but it certainly does show off some verbal dexterity. I liked it, the show.
Yeah.
It's like one of those shows that's not... It is very funny, actually, but if there's lots of episodes where there's a good old chunk where it's not funny at all, and it's more, I don't know, indie or drama-y or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice... Just to give the basics set up, it's... Zach Galifianakis is playing a clown who is... He starts off in France, kind of flunking out of clown school there, and then he returns to... Is it the South, Texas?
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere in the South of America. What I'm doing is cleverly... it's not that I'm ignorant. I'm just applying America's geographical arrogance to America as a sort of...
Right.
You know, it's very skillful what I'm doing.
Okay. Right. I mean, I don't understand it.
You don't understand it.
So it must be clever.
Yeah, well, not that clever. I mean,
it must be pretty clever.
It doesn't have to be that clever.
No, if I don't understand it, it's going to be pretty clever.
it's just your basic kind of loser sitcom kind of thing, but it's very quirky and it's got a lot of... It reminded me quite a lot of Louis. I think Louis's the sitcom a lot of people credit for starting this trend of kind of comedy, drama-y, indie, artsy, fartsy sitcoms, most of which I like, with the exception of Aziz Ansari's one, Master of None, which is a load of poops, as everyone knows. So it's social justice,
oh
the sitcom.
My God.
It's just social justice, a sitcom, and nothing more. But I liked Maria Bamford's one. Yeah. I liked...
You said, yeah.
Lady Dynamite gets better.
Yeah?
The first couple of episodes I wasn't sold. And then
every time I think about watching it, I just imagine her being like, oh my God.
You know how a lot of these sitcoms, including Aziz Ansari's, they have one where it's like, okay, we're addressing race in this episode. She's got one of those... And it's by far the best one, because it's not like Aziz Ansari demonstrating how much more socially aware he is than other people, which is what I got from Master of None.
Yes.
It's Maria Bamford acknowledging that she finds it uncomfortable to talk about, and it's inclusive. It's very nice. It's just great. It's funny, but it's also well considered. And anyway, I like most of them, and I like Zach Galifianakis' one.
I don't find Aziz Ansari to be like that, though. Like, he's not really showing it off. He just kind of... I get the feeling that he's just kind of like we should just be over this.
Look, I've got a black actress in this scene.
No.
Yeah. So has a lot of people.
It's like,
it's fine, but I reckon he's making a point.
I don't think he is.
I reckon more or less every scene that I've seen of that sitcom is like, look at the point I'm making, guys. I'm pretty aware of issues.
I don't know.
And it's like, there's nothing above that. It's like, yeah, I get the point you're making. Move on, please.
Just
admit you're wrong, Ben.
It was quite enjoyable. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but it wasn't. So you should probably take that back.
Okay.
Baskets, on the other hand, was really good, and I really like what's his name, Louis Anderson, as his mum.
Yeah.
It's like a revelation, Ben. I haven't really seen him in much else, just as Louis Anderson. I barely know who he is. I just recognise the face and the voice.
Yeah.
But he's just playing Zach's mum, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, he doesn't play it for like comedy or anything.
It's not played like, ha ha, it's a man in drag. Ooh, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It's just, he's just playing his mum.
Mm.
And at first you think, oh, that's a bit quirky, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you realise, no, he's just playing the mum as a really pretty, fully rounded character.
Yeah.
And I actually felt quite upset when there's a scene where she gets fat shamed by her mum and starts saying about how she's always eating too much, and then kind of she doesn't eat her pudding because she's all kind of upset by it, and I've really felt for this mum. I completely forgot it was Louis Anderson playing the mum.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a really good show, and I also really enjoyed American Horror Story. I would say that season 2 in the asylum went on for far too long.
Yeah, oh, they all do. They all go on for way too long.
I feel like season 5 in the hotel went on for a bit too long, but I was enjoying it far more.
Yeah,
all the way through.
There's a weird scene at the end where it's like, before I kill you, and we'll fuck you.
Yeah, you brought that up with Angela Bassett.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It was weird.
That was a weird conclusion to that storyline.
Yeah.
Because Angela Bassett plays a sort of foxy blaxploitation vampire.
As she always does.
And
oh my God.
She doesn't play. She doesn't always play a vampire.
But she does. Like, in every season she's in American Horror Story, she just turns up with them eyes.
Well, she's got,
I love it though.
She's got
like
a great
it.
Face for this for it's disdain.
Like, have you seen Scream Queens?
No.
Well, in Scream Queens, I don't particularly love it, but there's this black cop in it, which is called Denise Henfield, I think. She is like, it's just hilarious. She's just amazing, and I wish they'd get her to do more. And be an American Horror Story. It's the same people.
Mm.
I just want to see her in everything, but she's not. And they keep using this other woman.
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
Well, because she's quite famous.
Is she, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was she, like, a famous blaxploitation
actress? I don't know. I don't actually know much about her history. I just know that she's a famous actress.
You're like, oh, yes, it's Angela Bassett. Yes, I
No, but I know, I've heard the name.
Yeah.
I'm not that familiar with her work, but I know she's a famous actress. Anyway, Lady, let me move on to Lady Gaga's, because you prepared me to expect it to be annoying, and I heard, because you went, yeah, the only thing about it is Lady Gaga's in it, maybe you said that about season six, I don't know, but I was expecting Lady Gaga playing a vampire, it's going to be like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
An extended one of her music videos.
I don't mind her in it at all, but I know that... As soon as you try and recommend it to someone,
it sounds
they're going to go, oh, like Lady you just Gaga have to prepare and go, Lady Gaga's in it.
But
they're gonna be like, oh, no.
From the first scene that she was in, she was great.
Yes, couldn't she?
Bloody, again, I'm going to use the word revelation, Ben.
Wow.
Because I really, really like, this is what annoys me occasionally because I've got strong opinions, people accuse me of being closed minded. But what I like more than anything is to be really pleasantly surprised by something. And so I went in going, "Ugh, it's going to be so one note, and it's going to be like, oh, I get to play a glamorous bitch." But it was the one and only time I've ever found the sexy sort of seductress vampire woman character even remotely interesting.
Yeah.
And the more I watched it, I started thinking, you know, I kind of empathise with these guys. You would feel like intoxicated by her and attracted to her, and the way that she emotes when she is in love, even though it's very temporary for her character, it feels really genuine and really like loving, and it's great. And I really appreciated that there was a lot of, I mean, it's going to sound like a wanky virtue signaling feminist for a second, but I did really like that there was a lot of the female gaze in that
the
season.
Female gaze.
You know when people talk about objectification?
Yeah.
And a lot of people would make the point like, oh, they talk about video game characters and how they're all in bikinis, but look at the guy from God of War. Like, I don't look like that. Isn't that objectifying? Well, the reason it isn't is because that he hasn't been designed for women to look at him. He's been designed for men to look at him.
Yeah.
It's the male gaze he's attracting. The hero worship, male gaze.
Yeah.
No one, he hasn't been designed. What's his name in God of War?
Kratos.
Kratos has not been designed for women to go, whoa, look at that fucking sexy body.
Yeah.
He hasn't, maybe, they might.
What female characters they might, have, really, apart from.
Well, most of them, because they're all designed for boys, and they kind of. It's possible to have Lady Gaga looking sexy, but it's not. The camera doesn't leer over her. It doesn't kind of go, look at those curves, look at that ass.
I don't know. She gets her tits out quite a bit.
Sure,
her ass,
you could. Yeah,
like,
but that's what I'm saying. I see what you're saying. There's a difference between you seeing it on camera and the camera being the male gaze.
Yeah,
like. In a Transformers movie, it's clear that when the woman bends over, the camera travels up her leg and then look at that ass, and it's clear this is the men looking at the woman. Whereas, if anything, in American Horror Story, that is done to the male models that are basically all the way through.
Yeah.
You look at them, and the camera, you see Lady Gaga looking at them, and then the camera looks at them and goes, "Oh, look how hot they are."
Yeah.
And I thought it's nice, it's refreshing, isn't it? It's a bit. It's not even for a social, just because it's different.
Yeah.
It's usually the other way around. This is another thing I was saying about.
Yeah, it's just something you haven't seen,
like
before.
The Luke Cage thing. It's not. We can talk about that later. The Luke Cage TV series, but aside from all the social justice-y stuff or wanting to be diverse or wanting to be lefty or whatever, aside from anything, when I was watching that, because it's pretty much an entirely black cast and there's one white guy.
Yeah.
And so I said to Kiara when we were discussing it and I was trying to say, like, you know that guy? And she said, what guy? And I said, well, the white guy. And I'm so used to saying, because it's usually the other way around, saying the black guy and feeling slightly guilty about that for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though it's only because it's the thing that identifies the guy the quickest, because he's the one black guy there, you say the black guy. Yeah. Whereas this, it's completely reversed, and you just naturally say the white guy, because he's the one white guy there. And that's, aside from being more diverse and inclusive, is just refreshing. It's like, oh, I haven't experienced this before, you know, or not often anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I'll watch that.
But it is... it's not that good a series.
No, it looks a bit poo.
It doesn't have a kind of compelling hook in the same way that other ones have, I think.
Is it like The Wire?
No. No.
No?
Well, I mean, in that there are a lot of actors from The Wire in it, because they're black actors, and they've just been waiting for another show that has lots of black people in it. So.
Hello.
Yeah, why did that happen? That was weird. I think what happened was we started to talk about race.
Yeah.
And my MIDI board went, oh, you're two white guys, you should probably steer away from this. I'm going to cut the mics. I think we were being quite positive.
I think we were, yeah.
But
I was saying, there's lots of, like, it's better now. There's lots of, like, there's Blackish.
Yeah, like, I haven't seen that.
No, I mean...
But it seems...
I know, but I'm
seems like quite a nice, big, broad sitcom, though, doesn't
but
it?
I'm not going to kind of go, oh, I'm going to go, like, when there's, like, sitcoms and stuff that are for black people, I'm like, well, like, that's great. I'm glad there are sitcoms that are for black people, but I am not a black person. So I'm probably not going to enjoy them as much.
Oh, no, but you should watch Empire. It's
Empire. No, not Empire.
Great
shit.
Fun.
It's only because I don't like musicals.
It's, like, well, I like... Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, it's The Wire.
It's The Wire.
It's because, that's The Wire's traipsed over my...
Gotcha, okay.
That I'm jiggling my leg and it keeps coming out, you see? So... I'll stop doing that and we can continue.
For some reason, The Wire at the moment keeps popping up. Every time I'm talking to people, The Wire pops up and I'm like, The Wire. I still haven't watched it.
It looms large in our collective cultural...
I haven't watched it.
No.
Yes, no, actually, I have. I just remembered that I've watched The Wire.
Haven't you? Is there a recommendation section?
There is. No, okay, I'd be
I can't recommend
that.
You another series. It's getting monotonous. Oh, no, I need to recommend you a music album you won't enjoy, because I've been enjoying it and I want to talk about it. So that's what I'll probably do.
Yeah, I'd be up for that, though. That sounds great.
Yeah. Another one of them hip-hop albums has come out and changed my life this week.
You recommended me one of the cleverest, most... Just so stylistic and...
You like Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Eh.
You like it now.
Eh. Wait.
I had to put up with you going through season one and whinging.
So anyway, I'm watching season one and I'm like, straight away...
I won't interrupt. I can see you've got a thesis.
Spoilers. If you haven't seen Mr. Robot, I mean, you'll get it within 10 fucking minutes. Like, it's the most poorly
it really,
written
it very is.
Twist
it
ever. Very but it doesn't is. Matter because it's... anyway, I'll get into that. Fuck me. So, Mr. Robot, it's straight away, it starts, and you're like, okay, it's all hackery. And instead of, they're going like for real.
Hang on, do you mean hacking?
Hacking.
Like hackery,
it's all about,
as in their hacks?
Oh, no, well, a little bit
both,
of both.
Yeah.
A little bit of column A, column B. No, they're hacking, and straight away, they're like, they're steering away from kind of the entertaining side. Like, they're trying to make it realistic.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, on one hand, you go, oh, that's good, but then... The realistic hacking is so dull and so boring, and it's so hard to follow what's going on because they're writing this code, and it's just like, okay, it's not as entertaining as if they did it a better way.
Yeah, but it's not a hacking show.
No, but I'm just saying. No, but there's a lot of hacking in it, and they're like...
Yeah, but it's not. If you go into it thinking, oh, it's going to be a cool hacking show.
No, I'm not saying that.
You're skirting across the surface.
Yes, I know. I'm saying when you first watch it. Right?
Come into the water. It's nice and warm down here, Ben, among the deep sea creatures.
That's not what I'm saying.
Skimming pebbles.
I'm not saying I want a hacking show. I'm just saying they try. They even make a reference to it of like, oh, when films messed up hacking and, oh, I hate a TV show that would do that. Mm. And it's like, yeah, I get it that you're trying to be all, this is what real hacking's like, guys. It's not quite as glitzy as what they show in Hollywood. And it's like, yeah, I get that, but it's not.
Yeah, I don't think you've misunderstood.
No. I'm not saying that's what the show's about. I'm just saying that's an aspect that I didn't like. Mm. But, so, anyway, they'd have this twist, so spoilers, that Mr. Robot, who is played by Christian Slater, who appears on a subway, like, shouting his mouth off, and you're like, he's not real. Straight away, I think, I text you, like, pretty much 10 minutes in, going...
Hello!
Hello!
We're back.
Yes.
Yeah, so my laptop closed down. Because, out of protest, I think, because Ben was making so many redundant points about Mr. Robot.
If anything, it was Mr. Robot himself. It was F Society themselves.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to wear my F Society t-shirt. It's like, people won't know what it is. And they'll be like, what's that?
Yeah, but we'll know.
We'll know. We'll go, ooh, he likes Mr. Robot.
Anyway, you were bitching about that twist.
So, there's a twist.
That everyone sees coming.
Yeah, everybody sees it coming.
Yeah.
Christian Slater is, he appears from nowhere, and he is in the main character's mind.
Yeah.
Elliot.
He's a kind of a Tyler Durden Fight Club-y type.
Well, he's not. He's not a kind of Tyler Durden Fight Club-y thing. He is. They've watched, the writers have watched Fight Club and gone, bro. Fight Club. Imagine Fight Club. We'll do that.
You were happy personifying the writers of this show as, like, dude bro stoner.
They are, though. They are, because they're like, yeah. That I sent Ollie an article that was basically saying that it was written by a stoner.
Mm.
And then...
Some other person has misunderstood the show.
He hasn't, though. No, but listen, okay. Second series, I'll get into that. That's a lot better.
Mm.
Series one, it focuses on this guy, Elliot, who clearly has, like, mental problems, and he's seeing this guy...
And he talks in this kind of very monotone way about society as depleting our resources.
Do you wake up and see the people for what they are? And he's just constantly got this weird look on his face. And because he looks like he's straining a shit out and there's voiceover, everyone goes, that guy is one of the best actors. Just because
people say that. Plenty of people have said he's quite boring and monotonous.
Watch my... Look, my...
That's good, though. That was good. Yeah. That was good.
Exactly. Yeah, all you got to do is put a voiceover over it going, don't you think the people of the Starbucks 1%?
The corporations.
Yeah. And so there's a corporation in it, and it's called E-Corp, right?
Mm.
But, bro, what if every time we say E-Corp, we actually say Evil Corp, and it's fine because it's Elliot's mind and it's all crazy. But everyone else says Evil Corp.
Yeah.
So it's like, well...
It's because he's imagining them. He says early on he's conditioned his mind to hear and see Evil Corp whenever it's mentioned.
Okay, and but that's then why do we as the audience see Evil Corp?
Because we're seeing his perspective.
No, when he's not even in the room.
Well, I don't know. I haven't catalogued every
exactly.
Say it.
And there are bits. Okay, so it turns out the twist is Christian Slater is in Elliot's head. But, bro, he's not just in his head.
You can't just analyse it by saying, bro, every couple
because,
of seconds. And
because,
your point is made.
Because, no, my point's not made at all. I'm just saying, okay, so he's not just not real. He's not real. He's in Elliot's head. And he is.
See,
Elliot.
It is complicated. You can't even explain it.
No. But he is taken the form of Elliot's dead father. That we didn't know he had a father or a sister. He kisses some girl and he's like, "Oh, it's his sister." There's just a lot of twists that you're like, "Okay, like, what's the point in all this?"
Mm.
And like, turns out that she's his sister, and actually Elliot's made all this up in his head, and he doesn't know. And I get that you're supposed to go, "Oh, this guy is troubled," and you know he's. And he's such a twisted genius. Mm. But he's not a genius. He's just really good at hacking.
Mm.
How is that? He's not a genius, is he?
He's a genius hacker.
I guess. But he's not... Well, yeah.
It's pretty genius if you can unconsciously start a sort of hacking revolution and not even notice. That's kind of a genius level of...
Yeah, I suppose.
Of prowess,
okay.
I would say. Season two, why is that better?
But anyway, no, I haven't finished.
All right, well, Jesus
so
Christ.
The whole way... The thing is, right, I watched the whole season, so I must have, like... Is that the pizza?
Oh, my God! All right, so the pizza's here. So you know, with haste. Hang on, with haste, hang on. So that we can eat these bad boys. Finish your whinge.
No, look.
Finish your little whinge.
Look, the thing's not... It keeps falling down.
Oh, for God's sake. There we are.
Okay, right. Am I on?
Yeah.
So...
What was so great about season one?
Right.
You were on. You were saying how much you enjoyed it how...
And so there's a there's that twist, right? Regardless of if you think it's a good twist or not, it's still a hacky thing. It's like, okay, he's not real. Like, chill out. We've had that time and time again. But then the way this season tries to get away with that and be like, yeah, we know it's hacky. Because Elliot goes, oh, you guys have seen this. You saw this coming, didn't you? You knew this was going to happen. Mm. And you're supposed to go, whoa. So, but you your first reaction is to go, oh, that's clever.
It is, yeah.
No, but then you go, oh, hang on. No, it's still the same shit, but repackaged. Still the same shitty plot thing.
Yeah, but that's the best we can hope for nowadays, Ben.
Yeah, No, it's not.
Repackaged old shit.
No.
But what packaging it's got, eh?
Yeah, it looks very nice. Season 2 is a lot better because it focuses on a lot of the other characters that are so much more interesting than Elliot. Like, Elliot is the most boring character.
That's the weird
thing. Like you said before, about killing him off. Do that. Kill him off, like, as soon as you can.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of people were complaining when I went into season 2. The thing that everyone was saying was... Oh, but like the first 3 or 4 episodes of the season, he's not doing anything. Yeah. He keeps like, this is too long for. And I was thinking, no, that's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's like season 2 of The Walking Dead. Everyone says, oh, they spent far too long on the farm, and I'm like the one person who thought that was probably the best season because they really built something, and it was tense, and the relationships between the characters were all so well developed and had such a good sense of place. And it was the most fun I've had with the season, I think, consistently all the way through. But everyone bitches about it, and it's the same with Mr. Robot. I thought, like, those episodes where he was just locked away and everyone else got time to do some interesting things away from him was really good.
Well, I haven't finished this. I haven't seen the last episode of season 2.
No, okay, well, that's fine. I won't spoil
it. But there was a bit in it again, and because I was into the show at that point, I let it get me.
Mm.
And with that whole, like, this is the same story repackaged, like, the same story you've been told 1,000 times, but we go, oh. I was watching the second season... And there's a bit where Elliot goes to, like, watch basketball and he's got this daily routine.
Mm.
And then it turns out that he's in prison. And you're like, oh yeah.
Mm.
To be fair, though, it was done very well. It was really good.
I thought it was quite
But at the
obvious.
Same time, it was like, oh, great. It's like I'm reading fan fiction of, like, but I think, what if
I don't
he's
think
actually
those, I think those
in
twists,
a mental home?
I think those twists are meant to be surprising, but at the same time, they're flagged up. So that there's something unsettling. But, I mean, for example, yes, it does establish that Elliot's doing this daily routine
and stuff.
But for some reason, and they don't develop it...
believe it.
You don't quite develop it, and his mum's there.
Mm.
His mum is looking after him, and they don't spend any time developing his
character. Yeah.
She's just a weird background.
Yeah.
She's looking after him for some reason.
Yeah,
so there's something weird, and you think he's probably imagining some or all of it. And so that's why, when the twists happen...
Oh, no. Season 2 is so much better. Like, it's just better. Like,
it's not a show that relies on those twists being surprising to work.
No. Yeah, but
like,
I know,
so
but...
many movies that have a twist, the only thing in it
for
you
is the twist. But they
still
do the twist. Like, it's like you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't do something and go, yeah, but, I mean, that's shit. Like, no, you've done it. You've done it. You can't get out of that.
Well, I think... I mean, I certainly agree that season 2 is a lot better.
Because the other characters are so much better.
I started to genuinely get into it a lot more. I was into it enough to carry on watching season 1. But season 2, when I was like, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm into it. And it's because it just got a lot more psychological and a lot less about the hacking and about the plot and about... Hardly anything really happens plot-wise.
And also, season 2 makes season 1 better.
Yeah.
Because it goes into the story more and it's kind of like they went back and went, oh, we should have done this. And like,
well, it was the series that...
I hated the end in a season 1.
The creator, Sam Eshmail, I don't know how you pronounce it, he wrote and directed every episode of season 2. And I think it worked
best. Better.
Where it's just one guy.
Did you not do that in season 1?
No, apparently not. There were other directors and other writers and stuff like that. So they probably were I mean, I don't know. Seeing from what I've seen of season two, if he would have been allowed to do exactly what he wanted from day one, maybe it would have been more interesting.
Or maybe then,
but maybe
why.
There was there some
maybe
sort of pressure.
Maybe he went back and was like, I wanted this to be in season one.
Yeah.
So mate, that would make sense.
I can see a situation where he pitches a much more interesting season one, and they go, "Can we put more cool hacking stuff? Yeah. Can we put some more plot and like some more revolutionary politics and something a bit more edgy?"
And the whole like breaking out of prison and stuff, like it was exciting and fun. But then at the same time, it was like, well, this isn't what the show is.
No.
So it's just kind of didn't know
what
it was.
They put this weird cartoon character, lunatic crack addict guy in it who doesn't really fit the rest of the show.
I liked the drug dealer girl. She was my favourite character, and then they killed her.
Mm.
And I was like, I mean, I didn't... And at that point, I was like, I don't like any of these characters at all. And Angela was a nothing character in season one.
Yeah.
She was just kind of like... She was a reason to get that disc into that bloke's.
Yeah, but she gets really interesting in season two.
Yeah, our season two, yeah, she's one of the most interesting characters.
And I feel like you wouldn't really care much about what was happening to her in season two had you not
spent
some time with her
being
kind of naive and innocent and quite bland in season one. Is that enough?
I think that's enough.
So
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot, A plus from the only podcast in the internet.
Yeah,
a definite watch.
Definitely.
Seasons one and two.
Season
top notch quality
season
entertainment.
One,
let's
one.
Eat some pizza.
Season one is not that great.
You want to talk about XCOM 2, don't you?
Oh, it's so good.
I'm going to eat pizza while you.
So, XCOM 2 is a strategy game.
Turn-based
strategy game, and it's about aliens and
boring.
You can make people that you know on it, and you can like change their face. And I've made you.
Yeah.
And I thought I could make you, and then I can talk about your adventures in the podcast.
So what have I been up to?
Well, you know, you started off as a rookie,
of course. Got to start somewhere.
And you've got
fast.
You've got an orange jumpsuit.
Fast rising through the ranks, though.
Oh, sure, yeah. Probably. I mean, you've been on a few missions now.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a fag.
Just try and stop me. Yeah, yeah.
You look good.
Thanks, man. You could have. Have I got? How fat am I?
Oh, you can't change the fatness. Oh, no, you look beefy, you look good.
Of course.
I've given you glasses as well.
Oh, interesting choice.
You do wear glasses, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. But just because I was like, you were quite similar to Drew.
Right.
I made my mate Drew as well.
Mm.
And he's had got a receding hairline.
Yeah, you can kill him off. That's fine.
But, so I had to like...
Keep me nice
glasses
and safe.
And,
so where have I been?
You've been all over the place, all over the Earth, fighting the aliens.
So it's on Earth.
Because the aliens have taken over Earth and you're a resistance.
Right. Ah, of course.
And, but the thing is, the game, it's got permadeath. Permanent death. So you build up your character. You can get him like really, really... Like top of the ranks, and then you can send him on a mission, and then one bad move, he's dead forever.
Oh,
he's gone, and you're like, oh shit! And then you have to build up all these other soldiers. I've made the Ghostbusters. Oh, it's great. It's just, and I think Winston just died.
Oh,
what do you mean, female Ghostbusters? You mean like Janine or something?
No, the female remake, you know, with them.
Leslie
Jones.
What?
Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
Oh. It's weird.
It's weird.
Can you keep me in the barracks, please?
No. You have to be on the missions. You're a ranger. You've got a sword and everything. It's pretty cool, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Mm.
And I'm in it as well.
Okay.
I'm a sharpshooter.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you can give the attitudes. You can, like, change people's attitudes.
Okay, so what's
so
my
mine
attitude?
Is, like, twitchy, because I'm always hearing noises. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yours is...
Stoic, sexy...
I think
dignified.
It's hard. I think it's hard luck.
Bags of intelligence and integrity.
I think it's hard luck.
Mm.
Because with the hard luck thing, when you like click on someone,
makes sense.
They look miserable, and then when you click on someone to move someone, they go, "Oh, okay." And it's like, and then you go to it's just really they're just really down about everything. They're like, "Oh,
that sounds like fun."
Yeah.
So can you change their attitude to be more like, "Hey, yeah, sure, buddy."
You can have happy-go-lucky,
you
can have intense, you can have laid-back.
Intense, I think, for me.
No, intense is like, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get this
You're
done.
You're not quite intense. Yeah. But the only English voice you can have on it is like...
Hello.
Just goes, coming!
Oh.
Okay!
Oh, I see. They've gone for that
right there!
Oh.
and it's shit, and you're just like,
can't have
on,
me.
Mate. Couldn't you get a better
right person? Away?
Yeah, no, it's not the same.
No.
It's just
well, it sounds
let's
like
let's kick some ass.
It sounds like a bad game.
No, it's a fantastic game. It's a fantastic.
Is it one
game.
Of them Command and Conquers?
No, no. So you get a load of troops, and they in a, on a map. You start off. You've landed. You've got all these troops, all different abilities, and you get a move and shoot, or a two move, so a dash.
Oh, so it's turn-based.
Turn-based.
Oh.
And it's, it's bloody good. And so you plan out your strategies, and then event you sometimes find the aliens, sometimes the aliens find
so it's play,
you.
It's like playing Hearthstone, essentially.
Because
they can't do
pretty,
shit when it's your
ooh,
turn.
Hearthstone? Oh, have you played the new expansion?
Nah. I don't...
One Night in Karazhan, very good. Very good. And now...
You have to pay for it, though, don't you?
Well, not necessarily. If you earn enough coins, you can pay 700. To get one bit of the story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you can do it. I've recently just unlocked a story mode with my coins. Jesus Christ.
Just grinded for a
what has my life come to?
Gee,
just
that
heard
is a lot,
myself like, fuck
a lot
me.
Of grinding, that is, yeah. I haven't played it for a long time.
I know. I looked online and I was like, Ollie hasn't played this for ages.
He's got maybe I've grown out of it.
Oh,
it was a very
so
quick...
That's what I was
a very quick love affair I had. Maybe no, I'll get back into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I stopped playing it for ages, and then it just took me one time to go, huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is great. I like turn-based combat stuffs, because the problem with those Command and Conquers is all the enemies don't stay still when I'm doing things.
Yeah.
So they keep... You know, I'm in the middle of building something, and they turn up.
No.
And you've got to go and fight them.
Well, the best thing on this...
Too much to concentrate on.
Is you can, like... So you move everyone. So say, like, you move one guy forward.
It's like...
put him on Overwatch.
Like Warhammer.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Hmm.
You put him on Overwatch, and then you can send another guy forward, and then if the aliens spot him and start running, the guy on Overwatch reacts and shoots the alien.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you miss. You can blow up buildings and stuff, and to get... It's just really, really fun. There's all different types of aliens. And, yeah.
So I still haven't started Alien Isolation, and I think I might be a bit too scared.
It's great. No, it's so good.
I don't want to be so.
But it's not.
I don't want to be so vulnerable.
It's not like Outlast or something. It's not so scary you can't play it.
Mm.
A lot of it, especially the start, the alien doesn't come into it like for a while.
Right.
So you've got a while like where you're going around the ship, you're getting used to, you know, you get familiar with it. Maybe the alien does come in it straight away. I'm not sure, but there are bits without the alien in it, and it's done really well.
How big is the ship? Do you get
pretty
really
big.
Familiar with the layout of it?
You're always kind of in another area, a different area, but yeah.
Mm.
Oh, it's so good though, man. Like just the graphics alone,
mm.
you feel like you're in Alien.
Okay.
It is just so great. And the way the alien
very
moves.
Easily scared.
Yeah, but it's not too...
Even when stuff goes underwater, I don't like it.
Basically... In Alien Isolation, you're walking around and you've got the little beeper.
Mm.
You've got your little... You know in Aliens when it goes like boop, 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 boop,
yeah,
boop,
yeah,
boop,
yeah,
boop.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got that. So you're walking around, there's nothing on there. And you're like just walking around. You're alone on this ship apart from the few androids and the alien.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking around and then suddenly it'll just be like boop, 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 boop. And you're like, oh, fuck. And you just have to hide or you know, just don't make any noise at all. And there's a setting with the PlayStation camera to keep the mic on. So if you make noise in real life, the alien can hear you.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And you can you have to hold the controller still at some points.
Mm.
So basically, sometimes the alien will be right in front. It will come down from the vents and you'll be hiding under a table or something. You have to be so quiet. You can't run away from the alien. Never happen. It's great.
Well, it just catches you.
Yeah.
And when it catches you, you're just dead.
Yeah.
Right, you can't fight.
No, well, no. You get very few weapons in the game, but you mainly use them on androids. They're freaky. They're very freaky.
Androids as well.
I want to play it again. It's so good.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Got that to come. And I've just started Far Cry 4 because... I liked Far Cry 3 so much. But I'm already a bit like, oh, this is a big undertaking, isn't it?
It's boring.
I got to the first bit where I had to do stealth, and I'm like, ah. Oh.
Have you played Mad Max?
I just see years opening up ahead of me. I've played a bit of it, yeah.
It's good. I enjoy it. It's a bit like that, though. It's kind of like, there's so much to fucking do.
Yeah. It has to kind of... There has to be something like a story that really
yeah.
takes your imagination and makes you keep playing. So that's the difference, I think, between something like Mad Max and Arkham Knight, is that with Arkham Knight, the plot...
And I like
Batman plots, and I like Batman enough to... Even though there were some grindy elements to it, I was enjoying the atmosphere and the plot.
Yeah.
Whereas Mad Max, it's slightly less... Well, it's a lot less compelling, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't really care about him going after this...
Whatever. Well, there's not much story anyway.
Whatever his name is, isn't his name Scroat?
Scroat, something like that, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it is fun. It is quite fun.
It is fun. It's good graphics.
It's very nice looking. I like to take photos on it. I don't know why, but...
Who are you going to show them to?
No one.
Upload them to your Instagram.
What am I doing? Jesus.
I reckon we can do recommendations now.
Recommendations.
Is that it for this week?
That's this week.
It's a scaled down one.
No, it's fine. That'll do.
Okay.
That's just like you reckon.
I think the fans are going to be disappointed, but we'll move on. That's fine. You failed to step up to the plate.
What's he watched? What's he read? Recommendations.
What's he read? We've never.
Have we not done read? Have we never done a book?
Books. We've done comics.
No, but comics. There you go. That's fine. You read a comic. What do? Do you watch a comic? No.
You look at a comic.
You read a comic.
You look at it. You look at the pictures. What are you recommending me?
This week, I will be recommending you... I've forgotten. My head's gone completely blank.
I see.
I know. I'm recommending you a YouTube channel. You can watch as many videos as you like.
That's unusual.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
YouTube channel called Top Fives.
Top Fives.
Yeah.
I think I know about it already.
It's like paranormal stuff.
Oh.
No, but listen. It's done in a way of like, do you remember Strange But True? Like it's not a conspiracy theory site. It's not like, this picture will prove aliens exist. It's just a really nice northern man going, these are the top five spookiest photographs you've ever seen.
I think I might have seen this before.
It's really good. And I just sit there and watch them, and they're so interesting. And they're just so fun to, like you say, just let it wash over you. Just like, ah, oh, like, doesn't... He's not saying this is true. He's not saying... And most of the time it will say, and there was UFOs in the sky. Was it UFO? And then it said, there was UFOs in the sky, but then police turned up to the scene, and all they found was a big bag of drugs. And then they're like, he's like, drugs or UFOs? Who knows? It's always like, no, it's definitely that. It's definitely that one.
Yeah, it was probably the LSD, mate.
And it's like, scientists, police have said that it was a local blimp that was flying overhead at the time.
But
like,
I think
it
might be from the other plane.
No, he never says I think. He says, but others believe.
But others believe.
But it's really
from
good.
Another world.
Yeah, but some of the things are really good. He's got this thing of like this... He gives this whole backstory about witches in South America.
Ooh.
And all these people talk about the witches that fly around. And then they've got this footage of this witch flying around, like this blob, and it's like flying around the city.
Although I grew up in Derbyshire, I've long been an expert in witches
just...
from southern Texas.
Yeah, but it's just so fun. I'm not saying believe any of it, but just watch it, and it's really fun.
Hmm.
It's nice. Nice to hear a ghost story.
All right, top fives. Okay, I'll watch some of those and get creeped out before bedtime.
I remember when I was in Venice and we were looking at this place, this island with this massive, like, I don't know what it would be, just this massive building. And we were like, oh, that's beautiful, that's nice. Why isn't, you know, why can't we go over there? And in top fives, it turned out this was like an insane asylum and it's one of the most haunted places in the world.
So you're not allowed to go because of the ghosts?
You're not allowed to go there. But the locals won't go there.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know that's true. But I know it's an insane asylum, but I don't know the locals won't go there. But it's fun to... I don't know, I just miss the wonder of the world, you know? It's fun to just believe and go, do you know what? Like, let's just... I'm just going to let this slide.
Okay. All right. I'm going to recommend you something. I don't know if you'll like it, but I would like you to give it a good... go. There's more chance you'll enjoy it than Death Grips. I'm going to say that.
It's music. I'm so shit at
it's
music.
I understand that you're shit at music, but...
I like listening to what I like.
Nonetheless, I'm going to talk about this because it's going to earn me a lot of bloody cred. indie.
You love the cool, cred, don't
of course,
you?
Yeah, I got a lot from
people
Death
listening.
Grips.
They don't
it
care.
Wasn't quite enough. No, of course they do. They think
me and the gang.
They think Ollie is so cool. The first thing he recommended was Death Grips. I mean, I really admire that about him. And it's been a while since I've relished in that. So this week I'm going to recommend something that has. It's a genuine recommendation in that I think it's bloody fucking great.
Okay.
There's a new album by a rapper called Danny Brown.
Oh, I thought it was the Corey Feldman one.
No, I'm not recommending that. Oh. Although the music for this episode, I think I'm going to make be. We'll talk about that in a minute, because that has to be heard to be believed. But it's a genuine recommendation in that I think it's really, really, really good.
Okay.
Like a great album that. I wasn't expecting. It's called Atrocity Exhibition by a hip-hop artist called Danny Brown.
Okay.
And he has got a reputation for being quite alternative and weird. He's got quite a distinctive delivery.
Can't he just be a nice, normal... You know?
And he raps a lot about drugs and the seedy underbelly of life. And he's got very idiosyncratic delivery that is instantly recognisable. And you might, at first, find it annoying. You might... But underneath there is great production, really interesting tracks. There's no other hip-hop artist that sounds like him, and I think that this album will be remembered as a pretty important alternative hip-hop release. Because it's come out and everyone's just gone...
Atrocities.
Fucking, Atrocity Exhibition.
By Harry Brown.
Danny Brown.
Danny Brown.
Not fucking Harry Brown. I watched that again recently because you mentioned it in a podcast. It was quite fun.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I like it. It's
old
nice.
Man.
Yeah. There's so... Oh,
old man justice.
I watched the other day 100-year-old Drivers.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
What is
and
that?
And I was sitting there watching it. And
a documentary?
It was like a very cheap document. Like, not a proper documentary. Like, a real tacky documentary, you know.
Mm.
And it was, I think it was on ITV. And but it was just called 100-year-old Drivers. And it was just about these old people driving. And they were 90 to 100.
Mm.
And I was like, what a lovely programme.
How many crashes were there?
No, there was no crashes. No, it was just about...
Edited those bits out.
If anything, it was about how capable these old people were. Like, there was like a 103-year-old and he still runs marathons and stuff. And it's like, fuck me.
He probably shouldn't though, should he?
But I just saw it as a really nice programme to have on and be like, yeah, like, you're not... Like, these people are 100 and yet they haven't been catered to by anyone for, like, 40 years.
Mm.
And it's like, Jesus, like, it's nice to have that and kind of go, oh, yeah, they're not all fucking...
Most of them are, though.
No, they're not. They're not. And I just thought it was a lovely programme because everyone was going on about X Factor.
Mm.
And I'm like, how can you still watch X Factor? It's the biggest pile of shit going.
You should watch this about, you
know, centurions. No, but I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying it was nice to just have a nice program. There was no bitchiness. There wasn't people
centurions.
Going...
Centurions.
Have you been talking to my missus? There was none of that.
Mm.
It was just pure, just old people driving in cars. And it was just, it was amazing.
Mm.
I loved it.
Well, I'm glad.
But there's just so much shit on, so...
Just want to say, I don't want you to... engage with the Danny Brown album in a kind of... I'll just look at a track from on YouTube and...
I'll listen to the whole album.
Try and listen to... you don't have to... If you're really not enjoying a chat, you can skip it. But I want you to try and get a sense of how the album is...
Okay.
...from start to finish. And try and remember a couple of the tracks to say something about.
Okay, I will.
Rather than just a gen... Because it's not Danny Brown, the artist, I'm recommending. It's that album. In this instance, whereas with Death Grips, it was just whatever.
Okay.
What they do.
Yeah, no, sure. Okay.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I like it when something's released and you're just so excited because it's I was, you know, this is some really amazing stuff is still being released. Every now and again, I get a bit jaded with new releases and I think everyone's released their best stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Not discovering any new stuff, but this really took me by surprise.
I listened to Biffy Clyro's new album the other day.
Did you?
Pile of Poo.
Was it?
Pile of Poo.
They've been going for a long time. Yonkies
well,
years.
When I was younger and people were going Biffy Clyro, I was like, nah, not a fan.
No, me neither.
And then I went to Reading and they were on and I was like, still not a fan. Then I went to Leeds and they were on and I was like, oh, do you know what? Actually, like, it's quite good.
Stockholm Syndrome, that's what that is.
Yeah? No, it was good. And I was just like, oh. And I remember when I went to Leeds, System of a Down were playing.
Mm.
I'd heard them in ages. Then I was like... Fuck me.
Like, yeah, they're good.
I had a new appreciation for them, like, as an adult. Mm. I was like, whoa, they're pretty fucking good. I was loving it.
Nice.
But yeah, my music taste is very weird, so I don't...
Well, I
can never try. It's
very
not
basic.
It's not basic though, because I listen to all sorts.
You just like what is it? Pop punk.
No,
a bit of pop punk and the occasional video game soundtrack.
I mainly listen to.
You're not really one of these cool.
No, but
musos.
No, I'm not. But like I mainly on the whole, I mainly listen to
Bags of Cred,
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, My Chemical Romance. Madonna, the Beatles a lot. I know.
I'm just laughing at the idea of you bopping along to My Chemical Romance.
No, yeah, but I used to really like them. So
I'm
like,
not okay. Okay.
But not that song. No, I hate that song. But the Black Parade, I really like. I just like it.
Dear.
It just gets me up. It gets me motivated. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, that's why I like Danny Brown, because when I listen to it, you know, walking along, I just feel like it's a great soundtrack.
Eminem.
You said that with such pride. Like, there's a rapper.
I listen to him.
There's a rapper.
I listen to the... who do I listen to? I listen to so many different people. I listen to Suede.
You get very defensive when I...
I know, because everyone thinks I've got a shit... And everyone's like, oh, Ben, he's got shit music taste. He's got a Blink-182 tattoo.
Mm.
But I listen to so many different things. And it's just, I just think, actually, I listen to quite a lot of stuff. Fleetwood Mac.
Are you looking forward to Dillinger Escape Plan's Farewell album coming out next week?
Oh, yeah. I thought the Arrival album was great.
The Arrival?
And then the We're Here album was all right. It was a difficult second album, but now the Farewell one is the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. You aced that. Well done.
Cheers. I love the Dillingers.
I think we're done.
Well, I want to say one thing.
All right.
I watched a film the other day.
Did you?
That I wasn't expecting
don't
much
pick,
of.
Don't pick your nose.
Sorry, I just itched it. So, I watched a film the other day I wasn't expecting much of.
Mm.
And if anything, when it first came out, I was like, I can't be bothered with that.
Mm.
And then I thought, hang on, it might be
it's
all right.
It's a good thought process. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Taking us through it.
David Brent, Life on the Road.
Oh, all right. Did you watch it on the Pirates?
No, I watched it in the cinema.
Did you?
At the back of a Costa. I went to Leicester Square, Odeon, to see it because it had been out for ages, yeah. And the Costa, they were like, oh, it's next door behind the Costa Coffee. You have to go through the Costa, and in the back there's a little cinema.
Oh.
And we were sat there in the daytime, because it wasn't on a lot.
Mm.
And we thought we were the only ones there, but sure enough, 5 minutes in, fucking loads of people.
So it was all right?
I've got to say, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
It was more about... I thought I'd go there and be like, right, okay, the best I can hope for is it's going to be gag after gag after gag, like, and it'll be funny. But it wasn't. It was
not
you
funny.
Weren't. You know, it was. It was very funny, but you were almost like not looking for the gags at all. It was more of a drama, like, he starts doing the thing in the office, and he's there, and he's like blah 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 doing his kind of David Brent thing, and this woman says, oh, you know, she's talking to the documentary crew, and she's like, oh, you know, I know you're here and that, but like it's almost sadder because he's not the boss, and he's like, it's just a temp that comes here, like I can't remember what he's called, goes out and sells
stuff.
Rep. And it's just kind of like straight away from then on, you kind of see it in a different light. And you're like, oh, yeah. And he's trying to get his band. And it's just quite good.
Mm.
And there's never a moment of like, oh, the tour's going well or there's ups and downs. It's kind of like it's shit the whole time. Like every single gig is fucking dreadful. There's no one there. No one gives a fuck. And then just towards the end, it's really heartbreaking and really...
Aww.
It's really nice, really good. And there's some hilarious moments.
Great.
Particularly when...
Hey! Don't be telling me none of the jokes. Okay. Well, that was Ben's last-minute recommendation.
Well, it wasn't a recommendation, but I just thought I'd talk about it.
Not recommended.
But you could... No, I would recommend it, but to everyone.
Hmm.
And, yeah, really good.
Okay.
Derek was shit, though.
Derek was pretty bad.
Because they showed old people in a bad light, unlike 100-year-old drivers.
It's good, nice. You tied it up there. You know, it's good. I'm going to go now.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, gang.
Thanks, gang. Oh, and we were recommended Firewatch.
Oh, shit.
By
yes.
a listener.
Hang on. We need to make a big moment of this.
We do. We, you know.
Let's not be all... Look, we're the only podcast on the internet, so some people might be a bit intimidated to contact us because...
With their own recommendations.
With anything, you know.
Feedback.
They might be a bit intimidated because they'll be like, shit, if I...
Yeah, you're going to go down in history as one of the first commenters on any
exactly,
podcast.
Exactly, yeah. So now there's been the first one. Everyone should, you know, you can calm down now, guys. You can all comment.
Yeah, the floodgates will be open.
Don't worry. But this, I don't know, what was his...
Let's look at him up quick. Phil for time.
So first off, I mean, he's a lovely guy. Let's get that straight away.
He's a fantastic
and a good look, very good looking bloke.
Bloody hell, yeah, he's a looker. Mark Ainley.
Mark, yeah, of Ainsley.
Oh yeah, because we've come to know him as Ains.
Yeah, of course. But he's a good bloke, and he has recommended us Firewatch.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about those sort of narrative heavy walking simulator type games, but you know, some are good, some are bad.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a really good one.
Yeah, so looks pretty good.
Yeah. I think it seems like a nice, compelling plot, one you can relate to, or well, you can.
Me.
Because you like ones about losers who want to be writers.
Is that what it is?
And creatives and they're not doing what they do because they're stuck in a job that they don't want to do. That's the main character, you see.
Problem is, that's the complete opposite of me. I'm stuck out of the job that I really want to do.
Yeah, so it gives you something to aspire to, is what I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's aspirational for you. We've ended on a downer.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
But
I ended it on a high with a little joke.
What joke did you make?
You know, I was like, old people. And then you bring it right down, don't you? And then we come up again with, we've got a recommendation.
Yeah. And we come back to, but it's good, we've come full circle. We started on hopelessness
why.
And now we're back to hopelessness.
With a little bit of hope.
We can make it through tonight.